Wycliffe. Good afternoon, brethren. It's a great opportunity and honor to stand before the saints of God and to give a message for today. Brethren, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for a day like this. We thank you for your grace and we thank you for your favor. We thank you for your love and we thank you for your faithfulness unto us. Father, we commit our souls, our spirits, everything about us into your mighty hands. And we are asking that as your message comes, Father, you give us a heart to accept. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the gift of righteousness. We thank you for your love for us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brethren, in the Old Testament times, there was a blessing which, when it is pronounced on you, you become so prosperous, you prosper in everything you do, in your health, in your marriage life, everything your hands touches, you prosper. And that blessing is shalom, peace. So when it is said shalom, it is peace unto you. And brethren, that word shalom comes from the root word shalem. And it means paid. I have paid. So if someone says shalom to you, it means I have paid for your peace. I have paid for your well-being. I have paid for your success in everything that you do. So on the cross, Jesus was saying, I have paid for your peace. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, it says, the chastisements for our peace was upon him. So on the cross, he paid for our peace. The Apostle Peter, in 2 Peter 1, verse 2, 2 Peter 1, 2, says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our God and of Jesus our Lord. Brethren, grace and peace are only multiplied through the knowledge, not through anything, but knowing more, seeing more about Jesus. Peace is multiplied to you. Paul echoed this in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's quickly see there. In Ephesians chapter 1, reading from verse 17, it says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. To know him. The eyes of your understanding, 18, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So, brethren, it's about knowing who Jesus is. Knowing, the more we know him, the more we increase And the more peace is also multiplied to us. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Brethren, let's go there. 1 Peter 2. Beginning 4. It says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Christ is the chief cornerstone of the building. And we are all stones. If he is the chief cornerstone of the building, and we are part of the building, the church, then we are stones. But here, Peter is calling it living stones. In Christ's time, or during the time of Christ, a stone is said to be living when that stone has been taken out from the quarry, and that stone has been chiseled out, cut, shaped, as our artisans know best. And that stone is placed upon another stone and is serving a purpose. Then we say that stone is living. But if that stone is in the quarry, it is not known or called a living stone. So Peter is saying, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's verse 5 of 1 Peter 2. Brethren, this afternoon I would like to share with you how we will become pillars in God's church. How we will become pillars in God's church. And it's like a stone, how it's taken from the quarry, and that stone is cut, is shaped, is chiseled, going through that process and becoming a living stone, serving a purpose in the church. And we all are living stones. Some of us will be pillars in God's church. And we're going to use Peter, a man I love so much, as our case study. We will see how Peter, whose name means stone, went through his chiseling, cutting and shaping, and later became a pillar in God's church. Paul called him, and John and James, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, that they were pillars in God's church. And so, brethren, likewise, no matter our failures, no matter our shortcomings, and what we were and how we are, God is able to bring the kind of transformation that took place in Apostle Peter in us. If you remember, in Revelation, the angel said, he sent a message to John, that Christ said, those who will overcome, they will become pillars in his church. And he told the people of Israel, God told the people of Israel, when they were coming out of Egypt, that the land of Egypt has no copper. But the land he was taking them to, they have copper, and they dig out the coppers and melt them in clay molds, and they will become pillars in God's church. The two pillars in the temple of Solomon, Joachim and Boaz. And so, brethren, we will see the kind of transformation that took place in Peter's life. And then we will use that in our lives. And so let's go to the first time Peter met Jesus. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. His brother Andrew was the first one who saw Jesus. And so he went and told his brother Simon. And then Simon came. So John, the Gospel according to John chapter 1, let's start from 40. Verses 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," or Cephas, which is translated a stone. Yes, so this is how his transformation started. And like most of us, he's met Jesus and he was transformed. And at least he was happy to meet Jesus. But brethren, though he met Jesus, he wasn't fully transformed or fully consecrated. He accepted him. "Yes, you are the Messiah. I know you. And so wherever you go, I'll follow you." That's it. Like some of us, the first time we accept Christ, we come to church. "Oh, well, I come to church. I'm okay. I'm coming to church. There's nothing wrong with that. Once I come to church, that's okay." That was Peter. So there was another occasion. He went out to sea, and throughout the whole night, he couldn't catch any fish. And the story goes on to say that when they came to the shore, there was so many people pressing on Jesus that Jesus came to where Peter was. And the Bible says there were two boats. Jesus could have gone into any of them, any of the boats at all. But he went to Peter's boat and he told Peter, "Please move inward a bit." Let's follow the story in Luke chapter 5. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Let's start from verse 1. "So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boats. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.'" He said, "Let down your nets." That was a simple instruction to Peter. Brethren, Peter has accepted Jesus as the Messiah. Yes. But Peter had no much revelation of Jesus. He didn't know, he hadn't got more knowledge of Jesus. So when Jesus told him, "Cast down your nets," I said, "Who are you to tell me what to do?" He said, "Look, we've tried all night. We couldn't catch any fish. And you are telling me, okay, at your word, I will cast down the net." If you look into your Bible, there's some other translations, they don't bring it out. But from the New King James that I have, he told them, launch down into the deep and let down your net for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, 5, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. You see? I accept him all right. But no problem. I will let down the net. Let's continue. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both their boats so that they began to sink. When Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Brethren, the goodness of God that leads to repentance. If it were to me, Kofi, I would tell you, repent first, then I'll give you the catch. But God did good to him. God was good to him. And his goodness led to his repentance. He fell down at his knees. Brethren, that's how the goodness of God is. It is his goodness that led all of us to repentance. So we continue with our story. Now, here was a time, Jesus, before he went up to the mountain for the transfiguration, he was in the region of Caesarea. Matthew chapter 16, brethren. Let's start from verse 16. Let's start from 13. Yeah, to get the picture clearer, a bit clearer. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, But who, he asked them, who do you say I am? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Jesus told him, Wow! This answer couldn't have come from anywhere. Peter, good, well done. But I believe it was my Father who showed this to you. Now, let's start from 21. The Bible says, From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. Just now he was praised. Peter, you are great, wonderful. This thing that you said, it was my Father who showed it to you. In the same vein, he was rebuking Jesus. This thing, no. Why should you say that? Rebuking Jesus. Peter. And when I saw this, I said, yes, at least we human beings, that's how some of us are. The very moment we are lifted high is the very moment we try to show our powers, we try to show where, you know, our ego lies. Peter was just praised, and he was rebuking Jesus. But he turned, 23, he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. It's my prayer that as we've taken upon ourselves to follow the footsteps of Christ, we will be mindful of the things of God, but not of the things of men. And so, we continue with our story. Let's go to Luke chapter 22. Our man Peter is a very nice man. A very, very nice man. After confessing Jesus to be Lord and Christ, now, Luke chapter 22, let's start from 31, verse 31. And the Lord said to Simon, 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 indeed, Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. This was around the time that Jesus was about to be arrested and crucified. When Jesus says such a thing to you, what should be your reaction or answer or request from Jesus? Jesus told Peter, Peter, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, that Peter, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. You ready to go with him, both to prison and to death. If I were Peter, it's like, Lord, then I pray, help me, strengthen me to stand firm, strengthen me that I will not fall or fail. We know Peter failed, but his faith, which is the eyes of God, did not fail. He failed, yes, but his faith did not fail. 34. Then he said, like Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. Ooh. And so, Jesus was arrested and he was being led into Caiaphas, the chief priest's compound. And so let's see what happened over there as well. In the same chapter, let's look at verses 54. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him to the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. But he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. Probably there were some things that show the difference, those who are from Galilee and those who are either the accent or like those who come from Scotland. I have known that the way they speak is a bit different from those who come from the south. So probably, he being a Galilean, his voice or something is different, a bit different from those from the south. 60, but Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." Immediately, while he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And I believe the look on Jesus' face wasn't a look like, "What did I tell you, Peter? You have failed me again." No. I think it was a look that said, "Peter, remember, when you return to me, strengthen your brethren. I need to go through this. I have paid for your peace." I strongly believe that will be the look. We men will say, "Yes, you failed me again. Didn't I tell you?" But no. No. And so Jesus was led to Calvary and he was crucified. Let's see the story next in Mark chapter 16. What followed, brethren? In Mark chapter 16, let's start from verses 5. Now, Jesus has resurrected from the tomb. And Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices, you know, that they might come and anoint the body of Jesus Christ. So let's, verse 5. "And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in the long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter.'" Wow. "And Peter, that he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him as he said to you." Wow. What is so reassuring than this? Mentioning Peter's name. And we know the Lord, after resurrecting from the dead, met Peter secretly. Because in Luke chapter 24, when you read, you said, "And the Lord had appeared also to Peter." And that meeting, the Holy Spirit covered it. No one knew or knows what happened. How God restored Peter. The Holy Spirit didn't want us to know. It's between Peter and God. He restored him. And so after 1 week, Peter and the others went fishing. Some of the disciples went out fishing. Let's pick up the story, brethren, in John chapter 21. The Gospel according to John chapter 21. And let's start from verse 9. "And here too they had fish all night without catching any fish. And so when Jesus saw them, he said, 'Oh, little ones, have you got anything?' He said, 'No.' He said, 'Cast your net on the right hand side.'" They did that. And so let's continue in verses 9. "Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish which you have caught.' Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, 'Come and eat breakfast.' Our Lord is still serving. He is still serving. In his glorified body, he is still serving, making breakfast for the disciples. Yet none of the disciples dare ask him, 'Who are you?' knowing that it was the Lord. 13. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is how the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, 15, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Some time ago, I used to understand this place as, do you love me more than the food? But no. Later studies have shown me that he was asking in terms, remember, before Christ was arrested in the upper room. Peter said, if all these forsake you, I will never forsake you. If all these leave you, I will never leave you. So now they were sitting around the fire, and it was a coal fire, like the coal fire he was sitting around when he denied Jesus. The same coal fire he was sitting around, and Jesus was asking him, do you love me? Jesus was healing him. The next time he sees any coal fire, he won't think of his failure. He will think of the love of Jesus. And the love here wasn't the love we understand. It's a godly love. So we continue. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But his love is the what type? The filio. You see, the like. Not the godly type. He said to him, tend my sheep. 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And here in the Greek, when I checked it, Christ came to the level of Peter, filio. Do you filio me? Do you like me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And brethren, what is the dearest thing to the Lord's heart? His sheep. And who did he entrust his sheep to? The man who denied he knew him. Who denied he has nothing to do. Because according to some version in the gospel, he cursed and swore he knew Jesus. And some of the commentators said, what he said meant like Jesus was working with a demonic power. That was the kind of denial Peter denied. Jesus, if it were to me, Kofi, yes, who was there when I was being crucified? John. Ah, he's been faithful to the end. Who was there? At least Bartholomew, some of them, they were not that bad. Yes. But he entrusted his sheep to a man who denied him. Where sin abounds, brethren, grace superabounds. And grace is more when there is more failures. To the man who denied him, he entrusted his sheep to. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up with boldness and he preached. And the Bible says 3,000 men gave their life to Christ, repented that day. He has become a pillar. He stood up. He said, I'm not afraid of you anymore. Some of them were there when he denied Christ. He said, I'm not afraid of you anymore. You killed the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And the Bible says 3,000 souls turned to Christ. Brethren, this is our Lord. This is our Messiah. Yes. Our time of cultivation will come. Our time of transformation will come. It may come through a word a friend might say to you, through a word your wife might say to you, or your pastor or someone. Let's allow ourselves to be cultivated. When we fall, we shouldn't worry. But when we return to him, we should strengthen our brethren. Peter became a pillar in God's church. And brethren, finally, let's listen to his advice he gave to his own people in 2 Peter chapter 1, rather. In 2 Peter chapter 1, let's start from verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. And brethren, when you take these one by one and you checklist with Peter's life, you could see that these are processes he went through. His transformation, his cutting, his shaping of the stone, and he became a pillar. It's my prayer that the Lord will be with us through our shaping, through our cutting, through whatever processes he is taking us through, so that we will become pillars in his church. Amen.